Thank you very much, Mr. Deininger. Happy Feast! Wonderful to be here with you. As Mr. Deininger indicated, I lived in Montana for 17 years, but now live in the Phoenix area. My last Sabbath before this immediate one, it was 108 degrees, so I am appreciative very much of the cooler weather and very nice to be back meeting a lot of folks that I knew when I lived here for that period of time there in Great Falls. Before I begin the offertory message, I wanted to ask, does anyone need an offering envelope? If so, the ushers will be pleased to give those to you. If you raise your hand, they'll be happy to provide you with an offering envelope. Anyone need one? Okay, wonderful. Well, today we're going to have another opportunity to give an offering to the great God as we've been commanded. And I must make the statement that words in the English language really do not allow us to convey the greatness of the Almighty God that we love and that we worship. I'm going to take a little bit of a different tack than perhaps we've seen before in the offertory, and I'm going to review a couple of scriptures that relate to the greatness of our God and what our destiny is in terms of the plan that God has in mind for we. So very privileged to know what we know, and as members of God's church, members of the family currently of the living God, begotten yet to be born. So first, I wanted to mention, several years ago, I was in Galveston, Texas, was not at the feast, and I saw a presentation given by the Goddard Center of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. In fact, I met someone here, Stephanie, I believe her name was, who works for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. She may particularly appreciate this. But at that time, they showed imagery from the Hubble telescope, and that image showed the greatness of the universe that we, as we knew it at that time. Estimated 250 billion galaxies were estimated to exist in the universe, and that was the estimate at that time. Since then, that estimate has grown from 250 billion to a trillion. Now, that's a trillion galaxies, not a trillion planets, not a trillion suns, but galaxies, each galaxy having billions of stars, billions of planets. And brethren, that's our destiny, brethren. You know, we, and now today, celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, this is the beginning of what we will be, where we will be serving for eternity, starting in the millennium, and then going out into this universe ruling under God the Father and Jesus Christ. Just a wonderful opportunity that we are so very privileged to have. And sometimes I think we, even in God's church, we don't fully appreciate the greatness of the living God that we worship and that we love. When I lived for 2 years in Pasadena, and periodically I would actually go to the auditorium to see the dedication of the auditorium where it said, "Dedicated to the honor and glory of the great God." And it just thrilled me every time I saw that message, and I would go there just to see that, because that's how great God is and how we have the great privilege and opportunity to serve Him and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Our first scripture today, brethren, I'll ask you to turn to Psalms 8, verses 3 to 6. Psalms 8, verses 3 to 6. These are the words of King David. Reads as follows. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man, that is us, that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And we'll see a couple other scriptures I'll quickly reference, which we won't turn to, that in some translations, some of the scriptures that relate to us and what we're about to inherit, which the scripture would read the universe. That's what our destiny is to inherit. Romans 8, verse 16 reads, and God's word reads, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we collectively, we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also be glorified together." And then further in the book of Romans of our destiny. "And for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," and so many in God's church now, as God is using the experiences that we have in this life, in this world, to guide us, to direct us, to improve us, to have us grow in grace and in knowledge. We heard about the need to grow in grace last evening. Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, collectively, we, God's people, currently begotten, soon to be born at the return of our elder brother and Savior Jesus the Christ, for the earnest expectation of the creation, the whole creation, brethren, out there, the whole creation, the infinite universe, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting, brethren, for us. This is God's plan for us and what our destiny is, brethren. And there are many other scriptures you could turn to later. Hebrews 2, verse 8. The whole universe is to be for us to be to govern under God the Father in Jesus Christ. Tremendous opportunity, brethren, tremendous growth opportunity, tremendous plan that the great God has in store for us, we, God's people. And then, as 1 Corinthians 2:9 reads, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." So this glorious opportunity that we have even today, we can't fully comprehend it. We can meditate on it, we can think about it, but the vision should motivate us, strengthen us, guide us in our reserve, in confidence that this plan is what we have in store for us, God's people. Lately, science has outlined for us more and more proofs that we can count on this destiny, that we can count on it. For example, Fred Hoyle, he's the originator of the concept of the Big Bang Theory, said, "My atheism has been greatly challenged." This quote, this is basically a paraphrase, a little bit of a quote from him, indicating it is obvious that a super intellect, and this is a quote, has monkeyed with the relationships in the universe so that they sustain it. See, he's acknowledging now that the beliefs that we as God's people have are underscored and can be counted on, brethren, by the discoveries of science. Albert Einstein said, "The more I study science, the more I believe in God." So these are just concepts that we can use and we can study. I know some here have interest in the concept of biblical apologetics. There are sound proofs that we as God's people can count on as that the opportunity that we live our lives for, that we can count on, that the vision that we have is firm, and that we can count on it, and that we will have it as our ultimate destiny when we're born into the very family of the living God. But Psalms 24:1 reads, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods." So God says clearly that all the creation is his. Everything that we have today, and the destiny that we have in the universe, is the gift to us of the great God. Yet he will look on us, God's people who tremble at his word. Now, that word contains two scriptures that we're familiar with and typically is read in the offertory, and I won't disappoint you. We'll read those two scriptures today. So I'll ask you for the second scripture that I'll ask you to turn to is Malachi 3. Malachi 3, verses 10 to 11. And it reads as follows: "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." And then, of course, the second scripture that we always hear, and we'll hear today, is Deuteronomy 16:16, which reads as follows: "Three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of weeks, and the feast that we're celebrating today, beginning today, the first day, the feast of tabernacles, that they shall not appear before the Lord empty." So Malachi exhorts us and encourages us to give in faith, knowing the enormous blessings that follow our stepping out in faith through our obedience to God the Father and Jesus the Christ, our elder brother and Savior. So, brethren, we're now in all congregations in God's church have the opportunity to give to this end time work of God the Father and our elder brother. So let's do so with joy in anticipation of the blessings that God has and will continue to bestow on us, and ultimately in the fulfillment of our destiny, our ultimate destiny as His children, in our soon coming birth and membership in the great family of the living God, destined to be servants, to be kings, to be priests, coming up very soon when our elder brother returns in the millennium, a 1,000-year period where we'll have the opportunity to do the things, the good things, as kings and as priests that we want to do today, and at that time we'll have the power through God's Holy Spirit to perform. So now, as the ushers are taking up the offering, brethren, we'll have a repertory music, and it will be a violin duet played by Monica Hartman and Andrew Kovanis, entitled Canon in D, composed by Johann Pachelbel and arranged by Daniel Dorf.